This is an introduction to the sermon I preached on heaven and hell. You're going to pick up the sermon while I am pretending to be in a coffin. As the church folks were sitting there in their seats, there was a coffin that was wheeled in, and they think that I am in the coffin, when in fact I'm backstage and giving the introduction to the sermon. I'll pop out later and explain why I'm not in the coffin, but as you listen to the opening of this sermon, everyone there in the congregation thinks that me, the preacher, am in a coffin. Go ahead and enjoy.
Kind of wondering myself here right now. Hey, the reason I'm in a coffin here is I thought, I kind of figured that one day I was going to end up here anyway. So I thought, why not practice, Let's just kind of see what this is like. I mean, there's a guarantee you're going to end up here. I don't know if I'll be in something quite this nice. It's pretty nice, isn't it? As far as I know, I think Susie has a few boxes in the basement. She's kind of lining up for me. But what I do know for sure is that one day, regardless of who you are, how much money you have in your bank account, no matter what's going on, one day you're going to end up in a box. So the question that I have for you this morning is, are you prepared to die? That's right, are you prepared to die? Now, I'm not talking about life insurance, which, by the way, if you are here and you haven't checked on your life insurance to provide for your family, you should probably do that. Most people are underinsured. But have you prepared yourself to die? I mean, where are you going to go when you die? Have you said something like this? Well, I just kind of assume that. Or maybe you said to yourself, well, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to go to... Or maybe you said something like this. I sure hope I get into heaven. Or maybe you're one of these types. Well, I'm probably going to hell, but at least all my buddies are going to be there. We're just going to have a great party. It's going to be a party for eternity. Or maybe you said, well, hell isn't such a bad place. I heard it's kind of more of a dry heat. The humidity isn't quite as bad as Iowa. Or maybe you just thought to yourself, well, when I die, I'm not going to go anywhere because it's over. I just cease to exist. Well, regardless of what you said, this morning what I want you to do, before you leave this place, before you leave the building, before you get in your car and go into another week, I need you to answer this question this morning. And that question is, where are you going to go when you die? Why don't you ponder that question while I come on out to you? Surprise. I wasn't in the box. As much as I wanted to be, Dan over at Ganchia said I couldn't get in the box. He has a problem with selling coffins after preachers have laid in them. So he just said, no getting in the box. I said, that's all right, I'll pretend. But I did think it was a very powerful image in the fact that one day we will all end up here in a box. So I wanted to have this visual here this morning as we talk. Now, if you're new with us, let me bring you up to speed on what's going on. First of all, we're on the tail end of a series called Doctrine, what the Bible says Christians should believe. And the reason that we're doing this series is that there comes this time when our faith is brought into question, it's challenged, and we have to build a foundation for our faith. And the cool thing is God has provided that foundation for us in the Bible. And so when we say the word doctrine, we're saying teachings. What the Bible reveals to us is the teachings that we need to build up the foundation for our faith. So we've taken a number of weeks and we've talked about God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. And today, we're going to talk about heaven and hell. Okay? And before we go any farther, hopefully you brought your Bibles with you. We're going to be using those. And also, if you have any question that you would like to text me during the service, feel free to text me a question. I have a feeling I'll have a few. All right. With that being said, let's go ahead and get after it. Why would we spend a whole Sunday talking about heaven and hell? It's kind of morbid, don't you think? Bring a coffin in and pretend you're laying in it. Then that's just sick. But it's truth, isn't it? Right? And that's what we find out in the Bible, is that when you read through the Bible everywhere it talks about heaven and hell. You can't hardly read through one of the books in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, without coming face to face with the reality that there is a heaven or there is a hell. And you have to deal with that. And so because the Bible says so much about it, we need to talk about it. But the second thing is this, is that when you talk about your faith foundation and having a foundation for everything you believe in, your belief system in God and things of that nature, one of the things that's going to rock your foundation more than anything that you're ever going to face in this world is death. Whether it's your own mortality when you find out maybe you have cancer or you have to struggle with, you know, a serious illness, or you just figure out, you know, I'm going to die, you know, someday. You have to deal with that, and that challenges your faith. The thing that even may be more difficult is when you lose a loved one, especially someone that's really young. And when that happens, that really can mess you up. In fact, you can carry that burden with you the rest of your life because you're so confused and so messed up. Because that person that was so close to you died, and you have to deal with that. And that challenges your faith. That is probably why the Bible talks so much about heaven and hell and what happens after death. Because it is so important to us as Christians, but just as human beings, to understand what happens when you die. And so that's what we're going to do this morning, is we're going to take a look at what God's Word teaches us regarding heaven and hell. And we'll get back to answering this question in just a little bit. All right, when I came out here, I forgot to grab my Bible, so let me get that. Let's get going here. If you have one of those the scripture sheets in the bulletin, you can kind of follow along with where we're going to be going. All I'm going to do this morning is just show you what the Bible says regarding heaven and hell, what happens after you die. You just kind of follow along with that. And then at the end, I kind of want to bring a conclusion and help you answer the question that I opened with. Where are you going to go when you die? The first thing that we discover from God's Word is this, is that death is not the end. So when death happens, it's not the final period on your life story. In fact, you could really take some biblical evidence and say that really, when death happens, it's actually just a prologue, it's just wrapping up. That your opening chapter has just been written, and that there's many more chapters, much, much more yet to come. Death is not the end. A couple of verses from the Bible. I kind of use a couple that maybe are a little different, but I thought they were really interesting. One is Hebrews 13:14. The writer of Hebrews says, For here we do not have an enduring city, which we can all agree. But we are looking for the city that is to come. All of us have cars in our garage that are not improving. They're not getting shinier. They're not getting nicer, right? They are rusting. They are going into disrepair. They need to be taken care of. Same thing with your house. We had to do a lot of work this summer on our house because some wood was rotting. We got a new paint. It looks like a new house. But had we not done anything, it would have continued to go into disrepair. We live in a world that is falling apart. Things are not moving towards a state of getting better and nicer and shinier and newer. It's going into a state of disrepair, of falling apart. And that's just the truth. And you want to argue on that, all you have to do is look around. Look in the mirror, all right? You're not getting better looking. Sorry. Don't mean to be a shocker to you. But things are not moving towards a state of less wrinkles. It just doesn't work that way. Okay? And so what the apostle here is pointing out is that we live in a world that is not going to endure, but we look ahead to one that will. There is a city that's going to come that will endure, and that's what we hold on to. Peter also writes in 1 Peter 1:17, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Peter also uses in the same letter the word aliens. He said, we are just aliens visiting this planet. This is not our home. We are strangers here. There's a place yet to come. This isn't where we stake our claim and say, this is my kingdom. This is where I'm going to exist. Because that's just not true. Death is going to happen, but that's not the end. That is not the end. So death is not the end. Now, one of the things that I noted as I was putting this together is that in our culture in particular, we're very unique in that in the United States especially, we worship the youth. We worship youngness or youthfulness. Because for some reason, we have these huge crises called the midlife crisis. Familiar with this? Anyone? Anyone? Had one of those yet? We get to about 30, 40, 50, 60, I don't know when yours hit. But you realize, you know what? I'm getting old. And there's a lot of things I haven't done yet here on planet Earth. There's a lot of things I've missed out on. A lot of regrets. A lot of things I can't do them. And you begin to have this crisis, like you have to cram all this new life, and you begin to make all these different changes, and you begin to panic. And so that's why we embrace youth, and we want to be youthful, and we can't forget the joys of growing older. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we have kind of put it in our heads that life here on earth is it. That there's nothing after death. But what I see in a lot of Christians is that they begin to understand as they grow older that life isn't the end and that there is much more. And what you can see oftentimes in a Christian life is the fact that they embrace getting older. Now they don't embrace the achy joints, you know, and the sore back and losing loved ones and saying goodbye. Those are hard, okay? That's just part of earth. But as a Christian, as you grow older, you realize, yeah, maybe you missed out on this and missed out on this. But hey, this isn't the end. This is just the beginning, okay? So what the Bible clearly teaches is that death is not the end. It is simply the period on the end of your prologue, okay? There's many more chapters to be written in your life. Let's go to the next thing. The Bible teaches this, that there are two eternal destinations. Two eternal destinations. Now, before I even get into those destinations, one of the questions that I guarantee someone in this room is having, because I've had this question before, is what happens when I die? I mean, immediately after I die. Because we know that here's our time here on earth, and then there's judgment. So what happens in all this time in between? Because Christ hasn't returned yet, there isn't any judgment. What happens to us when we die? I don't know for sure, and the Bible doesn't tell us really well, but it gives us three hints. And so what I'm going to share with you real quick, just because I need to get this out here to you, because I know one of you have a question on this. The Bible gives us three hints that you could probably back up biblically. The first one is called soul sleeping. The Bible uses the metaphor of sleeping. In fact, Jesus says, you know, they're just asleep. And so sometimes that's thought to be the fact that when you die, your soul just goes into a sleep. And that it's like you have surgery. You go in and the anesthesiologist puts you under, you have surgery, you wake up and it's all over and you thought it just happened like that. And so that's one of the ideas, that maybe we just sleep and we don't even know what's going on. So that's one option. That could be biblically supported. Another one would be the whole idea that there's this term used in the Bible called Hades. And it's actually mentioned a number of times. Jesus mentions it in one of his parables. Luke chapter 15, I believe, is where we find the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And this is really one of the primary parables that we use to kind of back up this possible theory about what happens when you die. But the idea here is that there's this word Hades that sometimes is translated as hell, but it's not a good translation. It probably means this place of the dead. And what we see in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 15 is that there's this division in Hades, where there's a lower division where people that are evil go, and then there's this other area that is sometimes referred to as paradise. And in that particular instance, it's the poor man, the beggar, ends up in this place called, it's actually called Abraham's bosom, is what it's referred to. It's a Jewish term referring to a relationship with Abraham, and it's a good place. It's also thought to be referred to when Jesus speaks to the thief on the cross, and he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And so that's another biblical possibility of where a person goes, that when, after they die, there's this Hades that's divided into two places where righteous and unrighteous people go. Okay, and there they await final judgment. Okay, so that's another biblical one. And a third one, which could possibly be supported biblically, I think, would be because when we die here on earth, we leave the space-time continuum that we're limited to, space and time, that we then just jump out of this world and we go to judgment, and that we go to heaven and hell, and that takes place then. So those are three options biblically. What happens immediately happens when you die? I know that I get that question a lot, and usually I just refer people to the fact that God's going to take care of you, and he's a just God. He's going to do what's right. Okay. So to answer that immediate question, which you may or may not have, those are three options biblically. But the Bible isn't super clear on that. But I'll tell you what the Bible is clear on, that there are two eternal destinations. One of them is a place called heaven. Actually, it has a few other names we'll talk about. And the other one is hell. Let me just read for you from Matthew 25. I just want to read a section of Scripture that describes these two places. And we're going to actually hang out on Matthew 25 for a while. So if you want to turn there, you can go ahead and do that with me. But in Matthew 25, we see Jesus telling a parable, and he's describing final judgment, and he's describing what's going to take place. And so he's using some metaphors. I mean, he's describing people as sheep and goats. So you know he's not being crystal clear. He's just using these metaphors to describe humanity and what's going to take place. But he does give us and paint us a little bit of a picture about what it's going to look like. And so this is what he says. Let's start in Matthew 25, verse 31. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left." In verse 34, "Then the King will say to those on His right, the sheep, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" So here Jesus is describing judgment, and He's describing one place. And this is the place that is prepared for those who are blessed by God. They're the sheep. They're the ones that know His voice. These are His people. And He's blessing them and He's giving them an inheritance. Okay? So that's option one. Those who know Jesus, who have honored the Heavenly Father and are being blessed by Him with an inheritance. A kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Okay? Verse 35. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And then these sheep, these blessed folks, see something very interesting. Verse 37. "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" Verse 41. "Then he will say to those on his left," these are the goats, it says, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" And he will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do from the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Okay? Very clear. Jesus is very clear. Two places. A place of blessing, a place of inheritance, and then a place of punishment. Eternal life, eternal punishment. And so what the Bible gives us very clear is that there are two eternal destinations. Not three, not four, not five. Two. Only two. And it doesn't say you just cease to exist, that death is the end, okay? Two places. One other sidelight here is that the Bible makes no mention of purgatory. All right? I scanned, I looked. There's no purgatory. There's no third place where you just kind of hang out and try to do good deeds so that you can get into heaven. No mention of that. Two places. There's a heaven, there's a hell. All right? Next one. What you do on earth affects eternity. What you do on earth affects eternity. Let me just go back to Matthew 25 section if you're still there. That's a really fascinating section. I was reading that and I kept going back to this. It's kind of a head scratcher. Because here you have these sheep who are blessed by God and they don't know what they did. Did you catch that? Jesus said, "You did all these things for me." And he said, "We did? We didn't even know." He said, "Yeah, if you did to the least of these, you did it for me." And so I was looking at that and thinking, wow, that really says something about what we do here on earth and how that affects eternity. What we do here on earth is very important. But it's not so much what we do, it's, check this out, it's who we know. Who we know affects eternity. Our relationship with Jesus affects everything from here into eternity. You see, it wasn't so much what they did, because they didn't even know. One of the things that kind of frustrated me when I was earlier in my years when I read that passage is I think, wow, I could be a goat and not even know it. I mean, am I missing something? Is there a deed that I'm not doing right? Is there something that I've just kind of overlooked? You know, am I not reading a certain passage of the Bible right? Am I not going to church enough? You know, and I was in ministry even. You know, I'm like there every Sunday. You know, what am I missing? Am I doing something? Because I was very fearful. I thought, I'm going to be a goat. Because these goats, they seem like all right people. You know, what did they do wrong? What did they miss? Did they just overlook something? And what I realized this week as I was studying the passage is just a little detail. You know why the sheep didn't know exactly what they did? Because they weren't worried about doing things. They were about knowing Jesus. And here's the thing. You got to get this morning. If you know Jesus and are in a relationship with Him, you're going to love the people Jesus loves. You're going to serve the way Jesus serves. You're going to give the way Jesus gives. You're going to forgive the way Jesus forgives. And it's not about what you do. It's about who you know. See, I can tell what kind of faith y'all have by looking at your life. I can tell how much you believe about God by the things that you do. For those of you that believe that God's a giver, you're great givers. For those of you who know that God has forgiven you of your sins, you are great at forgiving other people. For those of you who have experienced God's mercy, you are incredible at giving mercy. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That's the whole lesson here in the sheep and the goats. It's not about what you do. The goats were doing stuff, but it's about who they know. Because when you know Jesus, you're going to act, you're going to live, you're going to love, you're going to forgive, just like Jesus. This is a huge principle. And if you get this, this could just change your life. I don't care what you do, it's who you know. And that was the difference between the sheep and the goats. The sheep knew Jesus. The goats didn't. That's what they said. Well, Jesus, we did all these things, but you didn't do it to the least. And that's how I would operate. They didn't know Jesus. What you do with your time here on planet Earth affects eternity. And it's not what you do, it's who you know. Getting close to Jesus, knowing the people that He would love, and serving the people He would serve, forgiving the way He would, it's knowing Jesus. In John gives us a powerful image of both heaven and hell. He, in fact, calls it new heaven and new earth, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. But he gives a description of what you do on earth and how that affects eternity. He says in Revelation 21:27, in describing the new Jerusalem that's going to come down, he says, verse 27, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So according to John, he says, if you are in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you know Jesus, if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you've entered into that covenant relationship with Him, and you know Him, your name is written in the Book of Life. Your sins have been forgiven. You can come into a new Jerusalem. But then on the contrast, if you flip back a few verses to Revelation 20:15, John writes this. He says, if anyone's name was not found in the Book of Life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. What you do with the amount of time that you have here on earth, no matter how much time that is, that affects eternity. And it's not what you do, it's who you know. Because who you know changes your actions, changes your life, and you begin to serve Him and serve His kingdom. Okay? Let's keep going. What does heaven look like? What does heaven look like? One of the huge, big atrocities that we as Christians have done, if we've talked too much about the nastiness of hell, because you talk to anyone and they know about hell. We don't do a very good job of telling about heaven. And so that's why I thought, let's start with heaven. So take a look at how John describes heaven. And now remember, John had a bird's eye view for this. Listen to how he describes it in Revelation 21:1-5. It says, then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. I love that. See, here's what our image of heaven is. We have babies floating around in diapers shooting bows and arrows on clouds. And we talk about that as heaven. I'm like, I'm not too excited about that. You think about, we're just going to sit around and sing hymns to harp music. You know, I'm just, nothing against you harp players out there, but I'm not a big harp music fan, okay? Not that there's this particular music of heaven. I don't know that. But I'm saying what we've done is we've painted this picture of heaven that's not even realistic. Did that sound like clouds and babies shooting arrows?
No.
According to John, it's a new heaven and a new earth. It is tangible. It is real. It is something that you can get your hands around. And so if you're a person that loves mountains, loves to look at mountains, you're going to love the new earth. If you love walks in the park or walks out in the forest, you're going to love the new earth. Okay? If you love to get your hands in the dirt, get dirty and plant a garden, get out and build something, you're going to love the new earth. Right? You know what he's saying? It's new heaven, new earth. Tangible, real. Here's my favorite. If you like a fresh baked hot apple pie and a cup of coffee, you're going to love the new earth. Because the things that you love about this place, the things that give you the warm feelings, that just make you appreciate your time here on earth, you're going to appreciate those things in the new earth. All right? It's real. It's tangible. But it gets better. For those of you who have the bum knee, the sore back, right? Maybe dealing with heart problems or you dealt with cancer, the Bible says new body. New body. Now, are we all going to look like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie? I sure hope not. I see enough of those at the grocery store that, you know, this makes me sick. So hopefully not. Hopefully we're looking something a lot better. Okay? New bodies. New bodies. But it gets better. You know, even for those of us who know the faith, our faith in Jesus has healed us and forgiven us of so many things, a lot of you carry around guilt and just plain sorrow. Sorrow that sometimes just can't even be healed this side of heaven. And what the Bible says, what John just said, is that every tear, every sadness, everything that was wrong, everything that you've been burdened, every scar that you carry will one day be gone. New earth. And probably the best thing about all this is that God will dwell among us. That is so cool. Now, God is here with us now, but here, John says, the seat of God's being, the presence where He dwells, I mean, His home is going to be our home. And so what that means is we get to have a different type of relationship with God. I mean, what we have right now requires our faith, but what we have in the future is going to be God's presence among us in a way that I can't even describe. But John says it's real, and he's pretty excited about it. That is what heaven looks like, and I'm very excited to share that with you. If you like all the things I described, that is what heaven is going to be like. Okay? Let's talk about hell. Hell is an interesting word. It's used a lot in the Bible, and you know who talks about it the most? Jesus does. The one that died on the cross for our sins talked the most about hell. The word that Jesus used the most in regards to hell was the word Gehenna. It's translated as hell in the Bible. I'll read a verse here in just a minute that uses that. Gehenna was actually a place on earth. It was in the Valley of Hinnom. It was actually a garbage dump. It used to be a place where they sacrificed babies to the god Molech. King Josiah came in and knocked down the idols and turned it into a garbage dump. And so on the south side of Jerusalem was this smoky, stinky, stenchy garbage dump that everyone took their refuge to, and they took all their nasty stuff and dumped it there. So there were literally dead carcasses. It was just a nasty place that was always smoldering and burning stuff. That was the Valley of Hinnom. That was Gehenna. And so when Jesus begins to talk about hell in his teachings, he's using this word, Gehenna. You know why he's using it? Because the nastiest place, the people of Jerusalem, the nastiest place that the people of Israel would recognize when he used the word Gehenna was Gehenna. It stunk. No one wanted to be there. And so Jesus uses this word as a metaphor. It's a way to take the nastiest thing that we can imagine, and he puts that in relationship to hell. Let me read one of the verses that uses this word. It's Mark 9:43. Actually, I have it right here. It's 9:43. Jesus says this. He says, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna," or hell, "where the fire never goes out." So he's describing Gehenna as this place where the fire just always is smoldering, is always going. Verse 45, "And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Nasty place, isn't it? So that's how Jesus describes it. The worst imaginable thing that an Israelite would know is Gehenna. And he says, that is what hell's like. Another image that we got, I just read a few minutes ago when I talked about the lake of fire. Okay, when you hear the word lake of fire, what do you think of? Like this volcano, this crater full of molten lava, you know, it just kind of jumps right into your mind. It's not a place you want to be, is it? You maybe want to stand back and look at it, but you don't want to be in it. And so what John is using in that metaphor is he sees this image and says, man, that looks like a lake of fire. That's nasty. So is that exactly what hell's going to be like? I don't know. It may be worse. But what they're doing is taking the worst thing imaginable and they're taking the metaphors and the pictures that we have and saying, that is what hell is like. It's like a lake of fire. Now, I tell you these things not to scare you, not to terrify you. I tell you those things because it's the truth. And the truth is, I became a Christian when I was about 14 years old because I was scared to go to hell. That imagery just scared the hell out of me, quite frankly. And I just went and gave my life to the Lord because I was scared. But one of the things that I learned over time was that God is a loving God. And that I want to get close to Him so that I can be like Him. It changed my relationship. So I'm pretty confident that those things aren't in the Bible to scare you. Let me tell you why they're in the Bible. A lot of people get upset with God because they don't think He's real and honest and is clear. Can I tell you something? God is crystal clear about what's going on. From the very beginning, remember Garden of Eden? God created Adam and Eve and said, I bless you with all this stuff. I'll take care of you. I'll love you. I'll give you all that you can eat. Don't eat it of the tree. And if you eat of this one tree, you will what? Die. Do you see? He was clear. I love you. I'll take care of you. But if you do this, you'll die. Fast forward to Israel. I want to be your God. I want to take care of you. I will bless you. I will protect you. I will feed you. I will make you prosperous. You will be the greatest nation on the earth. Obey my commandments. I will bless you. But if you break those commandments, I will cut you apart. I will allow you to be ripped apart. I will not protect you. What'd they do? They broke the commands. God was crystal clear. Now we fast forward to the new covenant, to you and me. God says, I love you. You are sinners, but I choose to show my grace to you, to fix the problem of sin in your life by giving you Jesus Christ. I will take care of everything. Cling to me. Accept Jesus. Accept the free gift. And heaven is your reward. But if you choose to reject Jesus, then you have to suffer the consequences. You have to be punished. And hell is the reality of that punishment. You see? God is crystal clear in what He's communicating to humanity. You can never say, God, you didn't tell me, because you heard it this morning. God is crystal clear in what He wants to do. And I'm not telling you this to make you feel guilty, to use this to leverage you to make this decision for Jesus. I'm not doing that. I'm doing this because one day, I don't want you to be coming up to me at judgment time and look at me in the face and say, Tom, why didn't you tell me the truth? Why didn't you tell me about hell? I can't have that on my conscience. I need to be honest with you. And what the Bible says is that there's two eternal destinations. And what you do here on planet Earth affects eternity. What do you do with Jesus? My daughter Samantha loves to play games. And down in our lower living room, we have a whole bookshelf full of games. And so when she's there by herself, Samantha will go down and she'll pull out a game and she'll open them. She'll just start to play with it. Play, 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 play. And then she'll get bored with one of her games and she'll go over and get another game. Take it off the shelf, come over, open it up, play, play, play. You know, we got paper money everywhere and pieces here and there. And then she'll get bored with that one, and then she'll come over and grab another game, take it over, you know, play, 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 you know, dice are going everywhere. And then I'll come downstairs, Samantha, what are you doing? You have games everywhere. What are you doing? She says, I'm playing. I'm like, yeah, I see that. Are you having a good time? Yeah. Well, it's time to pick up. No, I don't want to pick up. I'm playing. I'm having a good time. No, honey, it's time to pick up. She doesn't want to do it. She whines. And I say, honey, listen. There's something you need to understand. When you're done playing with the game, you pick up all the pieces, and you put them back in the box, and then you put the box away. So we have our little talk, our little dad and daughter time. And I say, come on, Samantha, let's pick up the pieces, and let's put them back in the box, and let's put it away. She's like, okay, Dad. So we pick up together, and I help her, and we get all the pieces back in the box. And the truth is, one day, your playtime is over. And you have to pick up all of your pieces and you put them in the box. That's a nice box. Has a pillow in it. But it doesn't have a place for your iPod or your TV. It's just you. Just you. And so one day you have to come to the realization that it's all going to be over and all of the pieces are going to go back into the box. And then they're going to take the box and they're going to put it away. And then you have to answer this question. Where are you going? Where are you going? And the cool thing is, you have a say in that. And I share this message with you because I want you this morning to make a decision to determine where you're going to spend eternity. You can spend eternity with God in heaven by putting your faith in Jesus Christ and allowing Him to pay the penalty of your sin. Or you can choose to align yourself with Satan and allow Him to guide and direct your life and then receive the punishment that is due you. But it's your choice. It's your choice. What do you choose? Where are you going to spend eternity? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you just, I don't know, just really wanting everyone to be with you forever. I mean, if I could just kick and drag and pull everyone to heaven, I would do that. But I can't. And you tried already. And so you gave us Jesus. And as much as I would want everyone to follow Jesus and to know Him, it's up to them. And so I pray right now that every one of us would just examine our lives for a moment, look at who we've aligned our lives with. And for those who need to put their faith in Jesus Christ, I pray that they would do that. And for those of us who are following faithfully, help us to be messengers, not to condemn people to hell, but just to tell people the truth that there is hope, that death isn't the end. Help us to be loud in broadcasting this love so that people can find out about Jesus, so that people can find out about eternity. Father, lead and direct us right now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I forgot about questions. Okay, while you're standing up, let's do a couple quick questions. My bad. I was just so excited about the baptism video. I'm like, I forgot about the questions. All right, let's do a couple quick questions. We all die, but does God allow someone to die slowly, painfully? Oh, boy. I want to say no, but I can think of an example of someone that did, but... Okay, I'll just fall back on this, because this is true. God is a just God. He knows every decision that you're going to make. He knows your heart. And if God needs to do something like that, He will do that. Okay? So that's why you need to align yourself with Jesus Christ. Okay? But I'll fall back. God is a just God. He only does what's right all the time. Okay? Let's do the next one. That's a good question. You say new bodies. Maybe the same bodies with new minds and thoughts about ourselves. Maybe. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. It just says new body. According to Paul, it's a perfect body for eternity. So whatever that looks like, I don't know. You know, maybe it is, you know, I don't know. But it's the right body for eternity, and that's what the Apostle Paul said. Okay, one more. Is there one more? I can't hear you. That's all right. I'll answer on my blog. The ones I don't get to, I'll put on my blog this week, so check that out, okay? Let me